My last demo of this, we set everything up ahead of time, and then it was very complicated setup. There was very confused about what's going on. So this time, you'll see us set everything up from scratch in the demo, so hopefully, it'll be less confused. I'll take difficulty for you. At the video prompt. Okay, so talk is about the Fedora rendering project, which is sort of a grandiose name for just a bunch of related work that some of us are doing at Red Hat, and it's very much connected to a lot of work that's happening in the community. So we're working on a lot of pieces of the stack. The idea is to look at making a better rendering experience for the user all the way from sort of the application end, how an application end draws to the very point where it appears onto the screen. I'll tell about the keywords later on. Now, I get most of you are probably pretty familiar with X, as it exists now. So we start off with our starting point, the GNOME desktop as it exists now. And a lot of things are staying the same in the GNOME desktop. The toolkit here we use mostly at Red Hat is GDK. That stays. We're going to keep Nautilus, all the application numbers the same. So the most important change is how things draw. Now, the very nice thing about doing all these demos here is that we are using X. Now, that's not X. If I was demoing this on Windows or something, I wanted to demo a new way of running the display, I'd actually have to start an entirely new system. I'd have to reboot the system using the Atlas. So we take this network Windows system, we can run all sorts of different types of X servers. The first part we want to run is just a very simple nested X server. Many of you may have seen XNest. This is something called Zephyr, which is like XNest, but with that. Now we have really classic X, these bootstrap read, giving you a nice more effective monitor. So now I can run, if I set my display environment variable, I'll do that a little bit. I can start something that's like, say, I can run, what? Now, of course, when I start something in the next session, I look at my title bar. Because next, the title bars aren't coming from the, they're not part of the Windows system, they're going by a window manager. So let's start a window manager. We'll start with Cassidy. So I started a window manager again. Now it's a little bit confusing because this window is inside that window, but we have a window manager that does cross decoration. And you can also, let's start something else, which is our slide. So it's probably for our slide. Now I'm going to make the nested X server, Zephyr as it's called, full screen. So then I'll make my slides full screen. Okay. So the Fedora rendering project, we have five people, we have sort of five people, Dan and Vaughn, who's our graphic artist, Christian, Tor, myself, and Carl Worth. So we're just working on various parts of the stack. And we're trying to make graphics better. Now, there's sort of goals here of making graphics better. One thing is we want more dynamic graphics. If you look now, every button on your screen, every button looks exactly the same. That's not very realistic, that's not very natural. Things in the real world tend to be different, they have individual properties. And that's a sort of application, we can add to user experience. We've added a little variation to your, you know, to your desktop. Animations, and when you do something, when I made maximize the window, it suddenly popped from here to here, very sudden. If we have all this render processing power, one thing you should be doing with it is, you know, giving animations to say to user, here is what happened. And then, you know, in general, we just want to improve the graphical slickness. You want to move away from that X root weave pattern, so you know, there's gradients. So, as I said, we are using a lot of things like JK, playing with XSplit rendering library, the desktop. But we're adding sort of two major new components to the mix. One component is a library called Cairo, which is a vector graphics library. And we're talking a lot more about it in a second. And the second one is OpenGL. OpenGL is, you know, the standard 3D rendering API. And, you know, for some things, it's a lot, you know, it's a very good way of driving graphics hard. So vector graphics, Cairo. Now, this is full slide here we're seeing is being drawn with Cairo. And in fact, it's actually we're actually using Cairo to render these slides here. But it's not just sort of checking the slides. I guess Chris will talk a little bit more about what we're doing with Cairo and with Cairo.
The one PS or PDF, where you have a some of the state API where you move the point around, and then you either stroke or build the polygon you created there. The backends available in Cairo, there are quite a few backends. I'm just going to explain these views here. There's an image backend in Cairo, which is sort of the canonical backend, which allows you to draw into an image buffer, and you can then save that image to a PNG file or use it for some things. This one I mentioned earlier, I drawn through using the image backend. There's of course a backend for Xlib, so we can use Cairo on the X server. This image backend encapsulates all the complexity of talking to the X server and figuring out which extensions are available, and uses the capability of the X server to accelerate the drawing that Cairo does as much as possible. There's a Glitz backend, which is a very exciting project done by David Riefman. What this does is that it actually takes the drawing commands that Cairo generates and translate those draw commands into OpenGL commands. So if you have an OpenGL accelerated graphics card, you'll be able to take advantage of the hardware acceleration. And finally, there's a PDF backend which allows you to output the drawing over commands as a PDF file. So the Cairo dependency stack looks roughly like this. The yellow boxes are the mandatory dependencies as it is, and the gray boxes here are optional dependencies. So if you want to, it's possible to actually generate a version of Cairo that only requires the PNG and the fixman, and you'll be able to run it on a web server, for example, without any display dependencies. So once you want to start drawing with Cairo, you have to select a backend. And of course, showing this API today is a little confusing because we recently changed almost the entire user visible API in Cairo. So the details are not important, it's more the general idea of how they, when you want to draw with Cairo, select a target backend. And the two examples I have here is a PNG file. So an obvious box there, but you start out and you somewhere where you know what kind of output you want, select, create a Cairo context, which is sort of bound to a specific output. And in the case of the PDF file, you have a target PDF file on disk you want to write to. If you're using the Xlib backend, you have the Cairo context that is associated with a window on the X server. So once you have the context created, you can start drawing to it. And this is the drawing API that Cairo uses. And it's very simple, as you can see. It's small, simple commands like move to, line to, and fill, and stroke to actually fill the shape that you created using the two commands. That's quite convenient. But I was actually. Okay, so I'll just show you the output from the code snippet on the slide there. That's the output. This is a PNG file shown using the GNOME image view. The tile background is the way that GNOME shows the transparency. So this is a PNG file with transparency, and let's just zoom in and look at the high quality initializing generated by GNOME. But that's pretty nice. And I have the same snippet as a PDF file. And I'm trying to start the things again. Hopefully, more press this time. I'm pretty sure the problem with the Vince is something you can SVD bang it, but otherwise I can recommend Vince, which is a new document view being developed in GNOME CVS. It's very nice. So here's the same snippet. This is the how XPDF renders the same path. And the point here is that with different backends, we can use the same drawing code to generate similar output on different backend devices, PDF files, PNG, X, Windows, and Windows, and so on. So,
okay, so that was a little bit idea of you know, what Power was like, what the API looks like, how it. How you go about using it, and the back end. Well, now what we really want to do is use that capability almost everywhere. I'm going to go.
Good question.
Yeah.
What is it that makes PNG a mandatory dependency? What is it that makes PNG that important?
It's not mandatory dependency in the sense that the code really depends upon it. It's mostly mandatory in the sense that it's pretty useful to be able to say, there's one permissible file that you can always load, you can always save.
Okay.
But it's not used in any sense when I wanted to render the screen.
And okay. Yeah, it's not meant for, I mean, it's compile time, you can disable that.
Of course, we turned off all the back end.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just
going
to say this because
So I said, what I really want to use PowerRoad to draw everywhere. So I'm going to show you a few examples of using PowerRoad to draw widgets, draw the main user interface. So, then I dropped a very nice mock-up, so how would you look? Fortunately, because we were rushing to Excel the last time, we didn't have a chance to implement the nice mock-ups. So what you'll see here for graphic art is basically a little bit of stuff that Dan drew and find is, you know, whatever we drew. So it probably won't look very good. But, we have two things showing here. One is simply that we have, the gradient, we draw a Pyro, very simple to draw a gradient with Pyro. And then the second one is these buttons. They're also drawn with Pyro. Now, I guess it's a little bit hard to see here, but if you look at every button here, it's different. So we don't have a fixed pixel map we're drawing every button. Instead, we actually draw template some full shapes, a little bit of total background, sort of grass-like shapes, draw different in every button. So that's, you know, the kind of a pretty weird use of Pyro to draw. I guess I'll show you maybe a different one. Let's see. I'll change my theme to a different one just to show that. Okay, so which one should I show? There's a little advantage you see, it goes from outside the button, it loops around it. Yeah. And we have that kind of ability. And that's all again from the Pyro mode. And you notice again that the different buttons are different. That one will climb up there, and then it'll go over out there. So there I am with how do we use two Pyro interesting things to draw in widgets. So sort of moving out to talk about, you know, using Pyro to draw stuff like this document area. We talk about Pyro for printing, we talk about using Pyro to draw brought to the application, that's all of the elements in the application. Then, you know, but when we still have, we look at the pictures here, we still have the extra weave, you know, we still have very classic looking desktop. You know, if we resize the window, it doesn't look very good. You know, like we're a little one, you can see it retaining. So we have to not only solve how does drawing work within the windows, but we have to, you know, look at how should drawing work outside the windows. Now, the way the X has traditionally worked is that all that the application say, here's what's inside this window, here's what's inside that window, and the X server decides how to put those windows together. Well, so the direction forward is just as in X, how the decorations are drawn is not part of the X server, the external window manager. The direction we want to take forward is that how the windows are put together is, again, not part of the X server, but it's part of something called the compositing manager. So the compositing manager gets as input the images of all the windows and then figures out how it's put them together. So it can do things like draw shadows, or it can draw extra, you know, different types of special effects. Okay, just remember I'm running a nested server here. So it's over here. I'm going to now start up. So we're starting the task key in a different mode, which is actually not only as window manager, but also as the project manager. So
that branch of the public capacity then.
not a seasonal display. But okay, you can also slide your window up to let you off. There's also a drop shadow here underneath. Another ability that this gives us is that now that we've redefined the way the windows are put together, we can do things like have windows with transparency. So if I run an app with. Okay, SX server. Now Okay, that, now I don't expect that one to be composite because I'm not running a composite manager. Now, I'm going to run Luminosity, which is their field-based composite manager. No, no, actually, you're wrong. You're right, So, again, it's basically the same thing, as you saw, I'm not going to know. Now, one thing I hear is, I have multiple desktops. Now, so let's sort of... So, notice that over here, we have a little thumbnail of the desktop updating live. And switch between desktops and the generation keep on going.
This one will server is
important. This is if you use
zero?
This is on. Okay, it's displaying to zero. So it's open to full screen on the colon zero as if it was like a GL program, like you were a talk space or something.
Right.
But it's actually extracting all the images off another server which is running on colon two here, which is the fate server.
What memory is it drawing to? Is it drawing into the hardware card's memory off screen?
You're asking about the X fate server, the one that's extracting images.
Yes.
That's all being done in software. So, the images within each window, we're drawing that in software. And then we're copying that into the display using hardware. the eventually it will be like a one server, so we'll be able to actually have accelerated rendering to the windows combined with the accelerated positives to the window together. And we basically know how to do that, but there are quite some obstacles related to moving DRI, the DRI, the GL on Linux. So, you know, 6 months from now, we'll be able to demo that. But we actually were very surprised by actually how well performed. We thought that it would be absolutely awful, and it's actually there's a lot of variables going on in performance here, so I can't always tell you exactly. For some reason, actually seems to perform a little better right now. But if you look at the load average here, we're using with this constant spinning little demo, we're using a portion of the CPU to the luminosity. And the rest of the GPU is in the application that's actually drawing that. But we're not, so even if the constant of being animation, we're really not trusting this at all. And this is the case where we're actually taking the image, scraping it onto the server, creating all of the maps at various levels, and then drawing it to the GL screen. So it's actually, I thought when I implemented this way, it was just awful. It's fine for demos, and I'm not sure I've actually won points in the main desktop yet. So,
are you going to show CPU sizing?
So remember when I resized, a couple of things I could show here. First, remember when I was back when I was showing earlier, I showed that when you have to move another window on top of the window, it would draw very slowly. Here, of course, I'm actually saving around the full window images, so there's no retaining going on. The other thing that's being actually done here is that when we size the window, we actually wait for the application to redraw before we show you on the screen. So we never see the case where you, so the frame expands out, and then, you know, you expand the frame out, and the application catches up. I guess I can actually show you. I run GDK demo outside. Then as you see, as I resize it here, we get this sort of trail effect on the edge here. And it's actually...
And that's running straight on the excerpts.
Yeah, this is actually...
Nice performance.
Okay. Well, I'm a little bit not clear, but I'm doing it over top of the notches, so the notches are running behind it. But basically, you see that. Our effects on the sizing. But if I go into luminosity, I do the same thing here.
Adaptive behavior of the application is very slow to render?
That's something that we have to deal with. You know, we actually are already doing some of this synchronization here. Well, I mean, I guess maybe good for analogy is that, I don't know if you remember, a few years ago, you know, the standard was that you did wireframe sizing with Windows.
Right.
Because that basically just was slow. And then, you know, then we moved to doing paper sizing. And initially, some apps performed really awfully. Then, you know, most apps figure out how to draw fast enough. You know, there are some people who have really just like commercial proprietary apps from 10 years ago that can't redraw, and then they want to, you know, a wireframe motion task or something like that. I think if the application didn't redraw for, you know, like half a second, people want to say, okay, I'm going to keep going to get the code resizing it. But I mean, I think it's mostly really up to the application offer to figure out how do I redraw everything at a time. I think it's never looked very good to the user.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just saying that maybe this being a separate program in the composable memory, maybe just a timeout.
It has that perfectly the ability to do that. Okay, that patient's drawing, I'm just going to do whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, the other thing is it's a protocol between the application and the composite memory computer. So the application can tell it. You know, even if it has more redrawing to do, it can say, you know, this would be a good time to repaint. So it's totally under application control how that.
So right now, I'm drawing off the turn off screen PixMap, and then I blend the PixMap onto the screen so it looks good.
Yeah.
With this, it sounds like would be better to just draw onto the screen and not care how it looks because luminosity is not going to paint it until I tell X to do it.
Yeah, that's. It's only an optimization that we very much have the ability to do. I think that's for a lot of this, you know, the mechanisms actually of the composite memory and all that are actually very simple extensions. And then the question is what we build on top of them, what protocols to build between the application and the window manager. I've already done a little bit of work with this on the resizing information. We can also, with repainting, saying, don't repaint now, you know, and then, you know, when you're ready, repaint. And that allows us, you know, to save that double buffer. You know, there's, you know, there may be an issue or two, you know, what if some other application's on top and the window manager needs to repaint it while you're still in the process of painting it. And, you know, but, you know, it's certainly something that we have to explore because it's an option we can't do now. So sorting out the demo here of the work people are doing on making the X server draw really fast with faster software. Going to talk about the software is interesting for one reason, because, you know, we're using GL to draw outside the windows, but at least in the future we'll frequently be using the software to draw inside the windows. So if we can draw really quickly in software, that means we're doing very good for doing something inside the windows. Yeah?
Is the thumbnail being generated by the composing manager, or is that?
That's being drawn by the composing manager.
So it's being by the
computer. Yeah, so it has all the windows and textures. So you said, okay, I do the window inspection here, draw it down there, scale down. And then we have all the geo machinery for windows and all that to do a nice built-in scaling and move the window down. I think it's an interesting question is how do we, you know, right now we have a pager on the middle panel that's being drawn by the panel. The question is how do we coordinate it? How do we put a pager on the middle panel which is drawn by the composing manager? I don't think we have a final answer for that yet. One possibility is we just sort of, the pager says, okay, processing manager, draw the pager here, or draw the pager on this window, or something like that. Another possibility is to actually have the pager suck the images independently from the server, so that gets pretty slow. So I think we want to, most more radical approach, which is not necessarily wrong, but would be more radical, is that we're actually moving our panel into the processing manager and have that do one single thing. That allows us to do some really cool fancy effects. But obviously it has more boost the amount of modularity that we have.
It can help you in the possibility of this thumbnail app being sort of unsynchronized from the positive.
Well, we generally want the thumbnail being run by the compositing manager but if we could simply draw thumbnail with the composing manager, we draw them on top of, you know, draw them with a user interface that would be done by the computation. You know, you say it's sort of almost like an XD overlay, you know, where you have, say, here's a window, draw a video on top of it. Here's a window, draw the desktop thumbnail on top of it. So,
okay. How does this compare or follow the work with that XGL that?
It's actually completely independent. Okay. So, you know, XGL has nice screenshots and all that. Well, actually what's being screenshotted is they've even went and implemented a really fast server on top of GL, and then wrote a composing manager to use that server. So it actually, there's a couple of things. If we were running on top of XGL, then we would have a couple of nice things. First, when we're drawing inside a window, we can use the XGL acceleration for that. And the second thing, if we're on top of XGL, XGL makes it pretty easy to integrate GL rendering with the operation of the server because the server is actually based on GL. So we don't have a 2D world or 3D world, we can use 3D. Now, I mean, there's some, XGL is very neat, it still has quite a ways to go because some of them are sort of throwing away the whole way that things are now, which is entirely different than we're doing things. And, and it's not, a lot of operations can be made fast. Some things are harder to do fast in XGL because it's not always a perfect kind of XGL attacks. But I think that's, you know, having most likely we really want a solution where we're using GL as the composing manager and also using GL to do the rendering of the server user. So everybody has this sort of quickest time of mind. But XGL itself is just an X server. It's just like an internet X server. The only difference is in how it's actually.
Okay. What I'm going to demonstrate is about this speed you can get from just pure without any hyper acceleration at all. So let me switch to the XL.
Also,
I think the
technology is giving me
that. That's why so fast.
That was
for the example where we had the luminosity render in GL, how did it work with the contents of the windows itself in GL?
So if we had, we were doing a GL game and whatever inside of the luminosity, basically what happens is we have to have a mechanism to say, okay, this GL game is drawing this area of memory, then take that area of memory and use it as a source of another GL rendering operation. There are some stuff that's already around the DL sort of similar to this, something called key buffers for off-screen rendering. And there's actually, there's a new spec that was released about three weeks ago called frame buffer objects. Where you say, okay, render this area of off-screen memory, now go take that piece of off-screen memory and use the text to draw it. Now, so really all we have to do beyond that, all we have to do, these big quotes throughout the all, is figure out how to take that off-screen buffer and share it between two applications.
Okay, let me see if I get this. You're saying that the card, the video card, would render to the memory buffer?
Yeah. Generally, a GL video card doesn't actually care where the screen is rendering. You just say, go render to the section of memory. Now, usually today, when you say go render to the section of memory, the section of memory you're rendering to is the frame buffer that's being scanned onto the video card. But you can just easily tell that you can render to this other area of your video memory, which isn't displayed on the screen. So the question is, we have an underlying mechanism being rendered off screen, that is, to something that's in video memory, but not shown on
the screen. Oh, in video memory. Yeah. Okay, I thought it was in video memory.
Okay, so I guess, obviously there is a more problem, if we're luminosity, right, is actually, doing some stuff in the client side with the image. On the CPU. So if you're running to the video memory, then bringing back the CPU and then pushing it back, that's going to be fairly inefficient.
Yeah.
So we need to do that infrastructure work so we can just leave the image in video memory
right. And
just draw directly.
Right.
Okay, I don't think I can do that.
Sorry. Okay, well, you can come up and do it and see the demo in person if they want. It was pretty cool. Okay, so any other questions?
How far away is all
this? We're really hoping to have this as at least an optional mode in FC5. So in FC5, when you look at serial succession, building GNOME, KDE, all that failed tape, and cool stuff. and you look at plugging that, run it as a desktop, maybe it won't run so fast. If you don't have fairly new hardware, it won't be that fast. And maybe it'll be able to use a little bit more memory. It'll be there to be sure. And then hopefully, maybe an FC6 we can have really a normal way of doing things. Yeah?
You're going to have fallback positions for the video from the else for the 1.3 or your video card the 1.3?
Certainly, because we're still sticking within the X code, it's all X still. Always just sort of go back to the old way of rendering.
Within the cool stuff.
I think it's going to be sort of a gradual transition period. I don't think we're going to probably have any fallbacks within the cool stuff. There's going to be no cool stuff or cool stuff. Because, if you have to say, okay, we're trying to run a software or something, it's going to be just pretty hard and pretty slow. And, GL support is actually you know, not a bad these days. Most, you know, we really have for the most part in the past.
You're demoing on an embedded video card on motherboard. Right?
This is Intel 915 or whatever. So this is not, you know, fancy, you know, NVIDIA $400 card. It's what every motherboard you're going to buy in the next, you know, every low-end consumer motherboard in the next 12 months will have one. And even that is really actually somewhat overkill for what we actually need to do cool stuff. You think about what we're actually drawing here, we have like, you know, your four windows, so your four textures, you know, 20 vertices. You know, you need to draw maybe 3 million pixels per second at most. You know, this is something like, you know, orders of magnitude less than what this hardware can do. You know, for doing that, it's really what any card hardware that's been used in the last, you know, maybe 3 years. So, you know, I think a large majority of our users will really want this in the very near future, and you know, it's part of what we'll progress. But yeah, I don't think we're going to do, I think we'll probably be either basically as we are today or using the new stuff. And we may have some sort of variants of new stuff, because the things you can do is get pixel shaders or fancier hardware they can't show you an older hardware. So you, you know, always new architecture, maybe some more, you know, just like a game will have, you know, better graphics, you know, better graphics for the desktop.
Are there any plans to refactor Zenova? Or is it just a dream in Keith's head?
I think, I mean, a lot of people are interested in it, because I don't think it's a big word that we're working on, because, Zenorama or Merge Frame Buffer is working, currently basically works for what we're doing, which is, you know, the one client machine situation. I think, you know, internally as a server, yes, Zenorama, you know, Zenorama is where you do multiple screens. The way it works inside the server is that every drawing you have to take is drawn to an every screen. So it's not necessarily the best way of doing things for efficiency or semblance of operation. So the idea is that with composite, where you draw, you know, take this window tape, put in a fixed map, where you say, take this half the screen and put in a fixed map. I think it's, you know, it's probably a better way of doing things. It allows me to make nice stuff, you know, but it's not really needed.
But essentially, it's a special case of compositing window manager.
Yeah, composite, there's a lot of flexibility to get composite window manager. You can do Zenorama, stuff like that. You can do magnifiers. You know, Keith has a nice demo of that next step development content. So, you know, magnification of video, you know, full speed, and things like that. So it's really a pretty flexible architecture. We're still saying, we're sort of fully made what was for one time very fixed, very, you know, programmable, whoever you want.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody.